Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Exactly a week ago today, we brought you the breaking news. The federal officials were executing a search warrant at three Caterpillar facilities, including its Peoria headquarters. Charges haven't yet been filed, and it's not clear if they will be. We haven't heard very much about what was behind the raid until earlier this week when the New York Times reviewed a copy of a report about Caterpillar that was commissioned by the government. It accuses the Peoria-based company of an elaborate strategy of avoiding taxes and committing fraud involving nearly $8 billion in one of its Swiss subsidiaries. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a former federal prosecutor to talk about how common raids are on Fortune 100 companies like Caterpillar. But first, that New York Times reporter, Jesse Drucker, who reviewed that report, joins us now from New York. Hi, Jesse. Welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about this report, Jesse. Basically, it outlines a Caterpillar company strategy that was able to bring back to the states nearly $8 billion from offshore affiliates while avoiding federal income taxes on those earnings. How is that possible?
Well, so why don't we just sort of back up a second and explain kind of what goes on here. So
yeah.
Caterpillar, like lots of big multinationals, shifts billions of dollars in profits to subsidiaries in tax havens like Switzerland and Bermuda and Luxembourg. And the way the rules work in the U.S. is that, in theory, the U.S. taxes corporations on their worldwide income at a rate of 35%. But in reality, the profits that the companies attribute to their overseas operations, the taxes on those profits get deferred. And so what happens is companies try to push as much profit as possible into those units so that way they can defer the tax. The issue comes when the companies actually want to tap into that cash and try to use it in the U.S., and they have to bring it back to the U.S., and at that point, they are supposed to owe tax at a rate of 35% with a credit for whatever tax they've already paid offshore. And so what the report alleges is that Caterpillar brought nearly $8 billion back to the U.S. without accounting for it for taxes and without paying income taxes when it didn't have the ability to do that. In other words, there are ways that you could do that if you had enough tax credits from paying taxes overseas. In theory, you could do that, but the accountant alleges that Caterpillar didn't have the ability to do that and actually committed tax fraud.
So there are ways you can do this legally, and then I imagine there are ways that you can do this are sort of in a gray area, and then there are ways that you can be completely illegal about it?
Well, so the thing that's sort of surprising about the report, or not sort of surprising, the thing that is quite surprising about the report is that there are a number of techniques that companies use to bring cash back from offshore that can be considered aggressive and creative and can get attacked by the IRS, but they rarely, if ever, rise to the level of tax fraud. And so the use of that term in the report was quite striking. And it's not totally clear from reading the report what exactly the techniques were that they used. In other words, you would expect a company, for instance, there was a hearing that the Senate held in 2012 on Hewlett-Packard and kind of the creative strategies they used for bringing cash back from offshore and avoid the taxes on it. But there, Hewlett-Packard took the position that, you know, the kind of creative transaction that they use worked and enabled them to defer the tax. There's no real explanation in the report for what techniques Caterpillar used. And one would assume that they did something, that they didn't simply ignore the law. So that's a little bit unclear.
I should point out this report was commissioned by the U.S. government. Jesse, we don't know what agency commissioned this, do we?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know for certain which agency commissioned. If I had to guess, it would be the FDIC, Office of Inspector General, because the accounting professor makes references to that agency in her report, and we know that that was one of the agencies involved in the raid on the Caterpillar
buildings last week. Right. And the report's author, by the way, is Dartmouth College accounting professor Leslie Robinson. The report obviously hasn't been made public. It hasn't been made available to Caterpillar. We on the 21st have been emailing the spokeswoman quoted in your story, Jesse, for a comment. We haven't heard back from her. What did Caterpillar say to you all?
They basically said we can't comment on a report that hasn't been presented to us, which we haven't seen.
Right, sure. I want to bring someone else into this conversation as well. Renato Mariotti is a former federal prosecutor, now a partner at the law firm Thompson Coburn in their Chicago office, where he is on the line from. Renato, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being with us as well.
Thank you.
So I should point out to our audience, you're not involved at all with the investigation at Caterpillar, but based on your previous experience as a federal prosecutor, I wonder if you can help give us a sense of how common is a raid like the one last week at Caterpillar, given the size of its company, given the size and sort of Caterpillar in the global scheme of things?
It's extremely uncommon. It is shocking that there was a search warrant executed at Caterpillar's headquarters. Typically, the way that the government would obtain documents from a very large public company like Caterpillar would be to contact Caterpillar's attorneys and send them a subpoena, and that subpoena would request all sorts of documents, and then Caterpillar would undergo the expense of searching for those documents, categorizing those documents, organizing them, digitizing them, and putting them in a format that's easily searchable by the government. Instead, the government took, I think, the unusual step of sending agents in to go themselves and search through and seize documents and haul them out, which means the government now will be bearing the expense of organizing those documents, going through them, trying to understand them and, you know, collate them, et cetera.
Renato, what are the reasons why federal officials would go? It sounds like the obvious conclusion one would draw from what you're saying is that it doesn't seem like Caterpillar would have been cooperating with the investigation if they chose to do this in this manner. Would that be a fair assumption?
I think a more pointed way to put it, or a more accurate way to put it, would be the obvious conclusion is that the government believed that they would not receive the same documents and evidence if they asked Caterpillar than if they searched and seized them themselves.
Now, Jesse,
remarkable.
Yeah, Jesse, I know when we're going back to this report, do we know the timing of when the report was, when this report was commissioned? Because that was also based on other documents from case agents that were working on the investigation, correct?
Well, so as far as we know about the timing of this report, my understanding is that the work on this report was basically being done throughout the second half of 2016. I mean, the chronology here is that there was a whistleblower that I believe filed a former whistleblower claim, I believe in 2011. The U.S. Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations had a hearing on Caterpillar's taxes in 2014, and then the first subpoenas from the U.S. District Court, the Central District of Illinois, started coming into the company early 2015. So, you know, this has actually been going on for quite some time at this point.
And so the documents that the professor reviewed were probably from those things, from sort of other things that maybe had been pulled together over the years, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, the professor's report makes reference to case files from the agents working for the FDC OIG's office. I mean, she refers to the Senate Permanent Subcommittee report as well, but what she was looking at was sort of a different issue than what the Senate looked at. I mean, it's clear also, I mean, one thing that we haven't mentioned is it's clear that there are other issues besides tax here. The Department of Commerce, the Export Office of the Department of Commerce, clearly has an interest here, and there are references to exports on the attachments to the search warrant, and also, you know, the FDIC OIG is, you know, in the business of investigating, among other things, bank fraud. I don't think tax or accounting fraud is part of what they do. So obviously none of us know what the disposition of all this is going to be, but it's clear there are things that are being examined here that are broader than just tax.
And so when we think about all of this, when we're talking about like the FDIC, when you said FDIC, did you say there was another acronym you threw in there?
It's the Office of Inspector General.
Okay,
of the
OIG. Okay,
it's
right.
Basically, the kind of investigative arm of the FDIC.
And Jesse, I'd love for you to answer this, and Renato, for you to weigh in after. How common is it for a multinational company like Caterpillar to be accused of something like tax fraud, and how hard is this to prove in court?
It's extremely rare for a big multinational to be accused of tax fraud. I mean, when you talk about proving it in court, I'm sort of hard pressed to think I mean, this gets a little complicated, but, you know, some of the Swiss banks and KPMG, the accounting firm, they were accused of enabling other people's tax fraud through a conspiracy. But in terms of a company engaging in fraud, which can actually mean criminal charges to lower its own taxes, I'm hard-pressed to think of an instance where that's come to trial. Someone was telling me about a company that was involved in a tax fraud case in the 80s, but it's extremely rare, or it's extremely rare for it to happen in public. In theory, companies could be getting accused of this by the IRS and could be settled internally, and you know that's how most disputes do get dealt with the IRS. But it's just a very rare thing.
Renato, how hard are these?
One other thing, just to be very clear about something, the government has not accused the company of committing tax fraud. You know, there has been no kind of formal, not just legal finding, but no formal legal accusation. I mean, this is from a report by, you know, a respected accounting professor who was hired by the government, but the government has not accused the company of doing anything.
Sure. So let me follow up on that. I mean, one thing that it does appear from the search warrant documents that the press has published, which I took a look at, that a federal judge made a finding that there was probable cause that there were violations of two different federal laws, you know, criminal violations of two different federal laws. So that's a significant finding. It's not an accusation by the government, but it's actually a finding by a federal judge that there's probable cause, which is significant. And what I would say to answer your earlier question is that it is very difficult to make and prove criminal charges of any type, but certainly fraud charges against a large company and prove them beyond a reasonable doubt. It's a very, very high standard beyond a reasonable doubt. Companies like Caterpillar have sophisticated lawyers who not only are advising them during the course of that trial, but presumably were advising them whenever they were engaging in the activity that is in question. So, you know, typically a company, you know, can say, look, we were following the advice of our lawyers and we didn't think we were committing a crime. So for the government, if the government did ultimately seek and obtain an indictment and go to trial, it would mean that the government thought that it could prove all of that beyond a reasonable doubt, which is much more difficult to do than the average person thinks.
So that's the bar. Do you think charges wouldn't be filed if the government didn't think it could prove a case?
The Justice Department's guidelines are that charges should not be filed unless the government believes that it can prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Jesse, what's next in this investigation?
I don't think we really know. I mean, I'd be lying if I told you we knew what was next. It's sort of it sort of feels like from the perspective of the public, you know, things are kind of quiet for a while, and then these different things kind of bubble up, whether it's disclosures of another dispute with the IRS or of subpoenas, the raid, now this report. So I think we don't really know.
I wanted to ask you one last thing that you wrote about in your story, Jesse, about President Trump. You know, he said that he supports, a holiday of sorts that would permit companies to bring these profits back to the U.S. at a low rate, just sort of circling back to the beginning of our conversation about this practices that companies legally do in terms of offshoring and bringing profits back. Do you think that there could be changes in the new administration that might change things going forward for companies like Caterpillar?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I mean, I think a lot of people assumed that with the Trump administration and the Republicans in full control of Congress that we would end up seeing very tax-friendly legislation, you know, probably a reduction of the corporate income tax rate, maybe a tax holiday for the trillions of dollars that the companies have in tax haven subsidiaries, and possibly some other changes like only taxing profits in the U.S. and not taxing profits worldwide. But the various proposals to change the corporate income tax have kind of gotten gummed up a little bit with some proposals that are super technical but have had the effect of basically dividing the business community. And that definitely kind of took me by surprise. You know, that could change quickly, I suppose. But for right now, I don't think anyone expects tax reform or tax changes, rather, to happen immediately. I mean, I think there did seem to be a lot of unanimity among Republicans on giving a tax holiday for the trillions offshore, but tons of legislative proposals have gotten sort of stalled by the general kind of I don't know what the right word would be, just the sort of unusual nature of the first couple of months of this administration.
Yeah, it was an interesting, another kind of wrinkle into the whole situation. Thanks to Jesse Drucker, the New York Times reporter. We, of course, will tweet out his piece. If you haven't seen it, follow 21st Show, 21ST Show. I want to thank also Renato Mariotti, former federal prosecutor, now in the Chicago office of Thompson Coburn. Gentlemen, thanks for being with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And again, just to remind our audience, we have been reaching out to Caterpillar, specifically to the spokeswoman quoted in Jesse's story, for comment. As of now, we've had no response from Caterpillar. Shares in the company, by the way, opened this morning at about $92.45. They're trading down now about 135 or 1.45%. I mentioned our Twitter account. If you follow us during the show, that's when we live tweet different contexts, different background, things that we're using to produce the show. So follow us there at 21st Show. When we're not on the air, you can follow us for the latest in Illinois news. Coming up on the 21st, how one Champaign temple is celebrating Purim, which begins at sunset on Saturday. Stay tuned to the 21st. We're going to be right back after this short break.